Welcome to the Fretboard Journal podcast. I'm Jason Verlinde, the publisher of the Fretboard Journal magazine. In 2015, aspiring Australian filmmaker Drew Roller launched a Kickstarter campaign with the inauspicious title Acoustic Fingerstyle Guitar, a Documentary. That's a pretty generic title for a Kickstarter campaign, but Roller definitely had a focus in mind for his film. He didn't want to do a film about the old guard of Leo Kottke and John Fahey and Robbie Basho. He wanted to focus on the younger players and the YouTube sensations like Andy McKee, who are not only finger-picking, finger-style playing, but also tapping their guitars and basically using every square inch of a guitar's body as a music-making machine. He raised over 20,000 Australian dollars. He started to travel around the world making this movie, and it is now out. It is available for download, and it's called Acoustic Uprising. On this week's podcast, I talked to Roller about the making of the movie, the vanguard of fingerstyle guitar, and some of the artists he thinks we all should check out, even if we don't think we're into this genre of music. This week's podcast is sponsored by our friends at Retrofret Vintage Guitars. Retrofret is one of the world's great vintage guitar stores, and as always, they have a plethora of amazing instruments housed in their Brooklyn showroom, including a 1940 Gibson RB00 five-string banjo. I know a lot of us have Gibson L00s. Wouldn't that be a beautiful companion instrument? They have a 1971 Martin D28. They also have a guitar that wasn't on my radar up till now, a Linus Guitars OM that is simply beautiful. That's a brand new recreation of a 1931 Martin OM, but it has a sound port, and you know what? It actually all works. It's cohesive. They also have an insanely cute Bass State Model 206 from 1894, but guess what? It's on hold in the time it took for me to dig it up and now do this podcast intro. So if you want to get their instruments before anyone else nabs them, if you want to be the first one to see this stuff, go over to retrofret.com, see what they have in stock before it sells out. You can also follow them on Instagram, and if you do reach out to them, by all means, tell them the Fretboard Journal podcast sent you. All right, before I talk to Drew, I just want to thank everybody for listening, and especially thank those of you who have been subscribing to the magazine, maybe for the first time ever this month. We truly, truly appreciate it. If you are giving out or want to give out a gift subscription to the magazine to your friends and loved ones, we would also appreciate that. And basically, how it works around here is if you place a gift order between now and the end of day, December 18th, we will ship that priority mail and make sure that it gets to its destination in time for Christmas. So have at it. Go over to fretboardjournal.com. Obviously, the print magazine is what supports all of our endeavors, the videos, the podcasts, all of our online content that I know a bunch of you guys love, as well as our social media. So support us if you can. A lot of folks are also checking out some of our new offerings, like this tote bag package that we have that includes a Fretboard Journal polishing cloth, picks, and stickers, as well as our amazingly beautiful handmade hometown jersey collaboration. All that stuff's on fretboardjournal.com. I hope you will check it out. And if you have time this holiday season, maybe you're taking a road trip to visit loved ones, or God forbid, maybe you are hitting the malls and driving around in circles looking for a parking spot and you want something to listen to, I want to recommend a couple of other podcasts besides the one you are listening to. This is probably career suicide to do this, but I like turning you guys on to stuff that I like. The first one is our sister podcast, Michael Bashkin's Luthier on Luthier podcast. That is one we host on fretboardjournal.com. And this week's guest is Rick Turner. And they talk for over an hour about guitar design, guitar construction, guitar amplification, and a lot more. Check that out. The other one is our dear friend Eric Dawes Fret Files podcast. That comes out every week now, and it's sort of the car talk of guitars. If you have any questions about guitar repair, maintenance, maybe some guitar buying decisions you're going to have to make in the new year, you can reach out to Eric, and he will field your questions. He's been doing this for 20-plus years. Not the podcast. He's been doing guitar repair for 20 plus years. He's been doing the podcast for a while too. Anyways, check that out. That's the Fret Files podcast. And I think you guys, if you like our podcast, will definitely like it. All right. Right now, I'm going to hand it over to my conversation with Drew Roller about the fruits of his labors, Acoustic Uprising, the film. It's a 75-minute documentary on the new wave of fingerstyle playing. And you can download it right now.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Jason. Thank you for taking the time to have a chat. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. So, congrats on the movie. It's streaming and or it's available everywhere next week, right?
That's correct. Yes, we're on download and Blu-rays, launching first direct to the customer on our via our website, and then we'll be spreading our wings out to iTunes and Amazon and Google throughout 2018.
Nice.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with you? Just you know, I know that it was what 2015. You did a Kickstarter for this kind of concept. Yeah. What was the original idea behind this movie?
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, cool. Let's do this. So the original idea all started with one YouTube video. So it kind of encapsulates the project with my own experience, in that I was really inspired by one video by a performer named John Gom, who's a UK percussive fingerstyle player who put out a piece called Passion Flower in 2012. And I don't know if you're familiar with this piece, but he manages to incorporate traditional fingerstyle approach, you know, tapping the neck and playing over the top of the neck with percussion on the body. And then he uses tuning. He changes the tunings of the strings mid-song. And I saw this. And then he sings on top. Sorry, I forgot to mention that part. And I saw this, and I had a sort of brain conniption. I remember as a guitarist myself thinking, oh, that's it, I'm done. Like, throw the guitar out, I'm done. But I was so inspired that I began to pick up the guitar and play and practice like never before and start bashing on the instrument. You know, I've learned how to refine that technique over time, but there was a bit of, you know, a lot of tapping and patting going along on the instrument. But he was using this all-encompassing approach to the instrument that completely redefined how I saw the acoustic guitar. It became so much more just in that instant, and guitar for me was never the same again. I then became addicted to this whole style, and the YouTube scene was really blowing up with it at that point, and there were many videos on there, and there's you know, the Candy Rat Records channel that sort of championed this style of playing, and so I delved into that, and I kind of wanted to learn more about where this all came from and how this all came together. And when I couldn't find a sort of concise way of learning, I decided to make one, and then we created the Kickstarter campaign in 2015.
All right. And where were you at with your guitar playing? You sort of said you're kind of trying to hone in on this technique, but are you a professional player? Or are you where were you at?
I'd call myself a hobbyist. Especially over the last 3 years, I've been concentrating on making a film about guitar rather than playing it, unfortunately. Look, I started like many people my age. I'm 40 years old, and I started out with long hair, listening to Metallica, buying a cheap electric guitar, trying to be a rock god, you know, trying to be a guitar hero. So that was my sort of early years with guitar, and I gradually learned to embrace the more nuanced and melodic elements of the instrument. And fingerstyle was always something that I enjoyed, always loved things, pieces by people like Eric Clapton, and people who knew how to use the guitar to express, to be more than just behind the voice and behind the lyrics, but to be a very expressive instrument. That was always something that appealed to me. So this seemed to me like the ultimate expression of the instrument, using every texture and tonal capability of it, you know, not just the strings' polyphonic nature, the ability to have multiple notes going on with the strings, but then you add all the elements of the percussive, and you add sort of the textural tones that are available on the neck as well, by tapping it, and you sort of take it to this whole another level that I never even knew existed until only a few years ago.
Yeah. So you got your you know, you hit your Kickstarter goal. What was sort of the game plan as a director of like wrapping your head around this sort of universe with all these guys scattered around the world?
Yes, game plan. I would love to say I had a brilliant strategic plan. This is my first feature film, so there was a lot of learning by doing, but we had a great foundation in the boot camp experience that in Austria. So every year there's an annual guitar camp, and they call it the boot camp in the mountains in this ski resort in the summertime in Austria.
Okay.
And it's run by one of the masters of the style, Thomas Lieb, who's an Austrian American. He's now living in California, but he's known to be one of the preeminent players, composers in this style of playing. And so for a week, about 50 guitarists go and live and breathe acoustic guitar in the mountains of Austria from all around the world. So we met guitarists, composers from Turkey and India and the United States and Canada and all throughout Europe, who sort of come together to just share their passion around the instrument and learn from the masters of fingerstyle guitar, people like Thomas Lieb, John Gom, Don Ross, and many, many more. So it's an incredible sight to behold because the scenery is so beautiful. We're in the midst of this immense Austrian mountainscape, and that's captured in the film. You combine that with the beauty of some of the finest acoustic musicians in the world coming together to perform for each other in this sort of intimate setting. It really is quite a sight to behold. And we did our best. We went there 2 years. So 2015, after we'd kickstarted in March, we went to the boot camp in July, and we shot there, and we managed to interview. So we were able to connect to some of the biggest names in the biz, people like Thomas Lieb, John Gom, Mike Dawes, Don Ross. I'm drawing blanks, but that was a great little cluster of the A-listers in one place. And so that enabled us to create the foundation that we then built on through 2016, where we went to the USA and we spoke to Kaki King and Andy McKee, and we went to Guitar World and we interviewed people there. So we sort of snowballed from there. So it was less of a plan and more of just an organic growth of the community coming together around the project and supporting it. All up, we were able to shoot in 10 countries, and that was thanks a lot to the sort of passion of the community to come out and support us and run interviews for us in different regions. You know, it was amazing to see. These people love their instrument, and they were really keen to be involved.
Yeah. You mentioned that this is your first film. What's your day job?
My day job is software design.
Okay.
So, look, I'm a creative by heart. I love my guitar and I love my music. And I love creating software experiences. So I kind of see that as akin. There's an element of storytelling and communication and drawing people in and things like that. So I think there's a connection there. It's maybe a little loose, but it was fun.
So
making a film.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So you got to take some time off. You hit 10 countries. Yeah. Meeting all these different performers, many of whom are young, some of whom are kind of elder statesmen. I mean, is there a feeling that this is sort of a movement? Is there a feeling that this is sort of a genre within itself? Or are these just a bunch of guys who play acoustic guitar and sometimes tap and figure it out?
Yeah, you know, that's actually, there is a little bit of debate about whether it's a style or it's just an approach or an ethos almost. And I think the consensus was the acoustic guitar enables you to do so much with it that is kind of the commonality, that the instrument is so versatile that all these different players are playing completely different ideas musically, but they're able to do the one-man band, the one-woman band approach so well through the instrument, the acoustic guitar, the most popular instrument in the world, that they're kind of able to take it to this new place that people never expected it to be. And look, I think there's certainly some connective tissue in the likes of people like Michael Hedges. So when you look at the history, which we attempted to do through the inspiration of all these artists, so you talk to people like Andy McKee and Tommy Emmanuel and Kaki King, and you say, where did this come from for you? All of them point to Michael Hedges,
mm-hmm.
and all of them say that this was the sort of supernova event that created all these new possibilities for us. So there's definitely some commonality in the history of it all. And, you know, I think that goes back even as far as people like Robert Johnson and the blues era who learned to take the instrument beyond its conventional approach then. And while they were emulating the ragtime piano, they were opening up the possibilities of the instrument. And the film explores that as well. So going back as far as 100 years to look at who were the people who were opening up the possibilities of the instrument and expanding it over time until the, you know, what we see today, which I'm not sure is it fully expanded. I'm not 100% sure, but we will see.
Yeah, a local guy to us, Dave Bunker, was doing his touch guitar in the 50s, so that was kind of like the precursor to tapping.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's many influences out there and we did our best to, you know, given our budget and our constraints. Living in Australia makes making films quite difficult, as you can imagine. So we're quite far away, but we tried to give the most definitive history of where this style has come from over the last 100 years.
Yeah. So you've probably immersed yourself in this music more than any of us, at least over the last few years while you're wrapping this thing up. Can you, you know, maybe list a few artists who maybe wouldn't be on people's radar, who aren't Tommy Emmanuel, that you wish everyone would check out?
Yeah, I definitely can. And that's kind of been the sheer delight of this whole experience is getting to meet some of the kids and having sort of restoring that faith in the next generation. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty optimistic individual. I don't believe there is a sort of, I don't believe in the dogma of, well, this is what guitar is and this is what it should be. I believe in the freedom of expression, you know, and the instrument that empowers these people to be that expressive. But I was able to meet three people I'll point out that inspired me. All of them came through the boot camp experience in Austria and all are in the film. So there was Ali Deniz Kardelen from Turkey, and he brought an Arabic flavor to the percussive acoustic fingerstyle approach. And his technique and approach is very nuanced and subtle and discreet and not over the top, but it just emphatic and powerful. So I'd encourage you to check out him. Coincidentally, there's a YouTube video of him skydiving, playing Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. So you might want to check that out.
Of course there is.
So, you know, the heights people are going to get a viral video these days are pretty crazy. This guy is immensely talented. Why he had to jump out of a plane to playing Stairway to Heaven, I do not know, but he did that anyway.
Okay.
The other two I would mention just quickly are Leo Aram Downs from the UK. He's a young guy who's a singer-songwriter, but incorporating the percussive elements into his approach as well, and he's incredibly soulful and nuanced. And then there's Jackie Bastek from Frankfurt, Germany, another singer-songwriter. And I think this is where this sort of style is evolving to, is becoming, you know, not just the approach to the instrument, but the instrument as well as being supplemented with the vocals and the lyrics and sort of soulful singer-songwriter component as well. So check those guys out. They're amazing. They're all on YouTube and they're incredible.
Yeah, and since you brought it up, like, this seems like a genre that has snowballed largely because of YouTube and sort of the video sharing. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's where it started for me. Yeah. Right? And after meeting 100 or so guitarists from around the world, they all have a story of, you know, some of them, their story is a little pre-YouTube, but for the most part, there's, you know, a massive amount of people found this through drifting. Mm-hmm. So you're probably familiar with Andy McKee. Mm-hmm. So drifting was a huge phenomenon, over 50 million YouTube views. So, that inspired many, many people around the world. And it is somewhat responsible for the movement we see today, all through one video.
It's amazing.
So, and we talked to Andy about that in detail, and he goes into the story, the history of where that song came from, who inspired it, and where he was at the time when he wrote it. And it's quite touching, quite emotional to see Andy speaks in. He really brings out the emotion when he talks about his drifting piece and Michael Hedges as well, which clearly influenced him greatly.
Yeah. And we often talk to guitar makers on this show. Do you feel like are some guitar makers starting to change their construction techniques or maybe, you know, adapt to this style of playing differently than they have been? Are there any guitar makers trying to kind of cater to this crowd?
There are a few out there that are doing interesting things, definitely. I'd possibly point to Loudon Guitars,
sure.
Who have quite a prominent footprint in the scene with people like Thomas Lieb, John Gom, Callum Graham. There's also Nick Benjamin Guitars, who supply Newton Faulkner with instruments, and you know these people have broken instruments in the past, so their construction is definitely adapted to take in this new approach for sure. You know, and there's all kind of accessories that go with the instrument now, things like scratch plates, you know, then there's the instrument variations like the baritones and the harp guitars as well, which kind of fit into that idea of the ultimate expression of the instrument and expanding the instrument's capabilities for new sounds. So the guitar is sort of evolving and mutating with the style, I would say, definitely.
And what's a scratch plate?
Okay, so you need to check out this video on YouTube okay. of an artist called Thomas Lieb.
Okay.
And the song is called Desert Pirate.
Okay.
And the scratch plate is a big feature in that song, and it basically it becomes a shaker style sound, but he's doing it while he's playing the song, while he's playing the musicality in the notes, he's sort of doing a scratching percussive shaker sound and with a beat as well. So that's actually featured in the film. So okay. Yeah.
I'm That's picturing like a skateboard grip tape on a guitar, but maybe I'm so way you, off.
No, well, there's some interesting sort of ways of some makeshift scratch plates that I've seen are quite interesting like that. There's definitely homemade jobs that attempt to do that.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating little universe. I'm glad you dove into it. What's next for you?
Well, so we've just gone on a circuit tour of the guitar festival circuit around the world. So we've been in places like Canada and Scotland and Australia, and we're touring around more festivals through 2018. And we're launching the film to the world digitally and on Blu-ray in December. So December 11th will be available to purchase online, and we're excited to say that there's a free Alexa Strings with the first 500 orders of Blu-ray or downloads. So if you head to acousticuprisingfilm.com, you can buy the film, and there's a Blu-ray there with 25 minutes of bonus features, you know, with more material from people like Tommy Emmanuel, Kaki King, Andy McKee, Sunga Jung, some of the biggest players in the world. We have a lot of material to share with the people. So there's an extended cut. There's a soundtrack. So we're going to have the most definitive soundtrack of, you know, this acoustic fingerstyle, modern style that's ever been put together. So we're now at about 18 artists on that soundtrack. So yeah, we'll be selling and sharing with the world starting December 11th.
Nice. And are you personally one of those filmmakers who had like one film in you, or are you starting to think about other projects?
I love the experience of making this film, so I would love to move on to something else. And I'm looking at some options for the next project for sure. Right. Funding is hard though; it's really tricky. We were lucky to tap into a super enthusiastic and passionate audience who helped us get this off the ground. So we have to be very careful or very diligent about the next project we choose. And we've got a couple of ideas, but yeah, watch this space.
All right. Sounds good, Drew. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jason.